They say good things come to those who wait, and your wait is finally over as Bollywood Weekly makes its triumphant return. On this week's show, we discuss independent cinema in India and how audiences are beginning to accept more alternative themes in their movies. Speaking of indie films, Masaan, the film that critics and celebrities couldn't get enough of. But what did the audiences think? All of that, plus the real reason behind our break on today's Bollywood Weekly. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Bollywood Weekly. As you may or may not have noticed, we took a short break, a hiatus if you will, and we are now back. But now that we're back, we're going to do things a little differently, at least for this episode. So first of all, I will not have any guests with me this week, so it's going to be just me, and you have the pleasure of listening to my uninterrupted voice for the next 20 or so minutes. So sincere apologies in advance for that. Hopefully not too many of you switch off and decide to do something else with your lives, but that's a chance I'll have to take. And the focus of today's podcast is also a little different from what we usually talk about, and we're going to talk about the indie movie scene in Bollywood. And most people aren't even aware that there is an indie movie scene in Bollywood, but it has actually taken off quite a bit in the last few years. In fact, in this year, there have been a lot of indie films that have already released, such as Margarita with a Straw, Court, Killer, and Masaan, which just came out and which we are going to talk about in a little while later. There's also a few more coming up, such as Amrika and Titli, which have all been kind of hyped up quite a bit by critics and by people in the industry who are close to these movies and the filmmakers. So the indie movie scene, I think, is quite fascinating, and I've been wanting to do an episode for a while. That's actually why we had this long break, because I was doing a lot of research and trying to understand really the indie movie scene and how it works. And I wish that were true. That's a blatant lie. I was basically on vacation in Bombay trying to get guests for this podcast, actually. And everyone I approached as a potential guest just kind of gave me this confused stare, being like, who are you and why are you here and what do you want? Before quietly ushering me out the door. So that's why I'm here by myself. But moving on swiftly. Going back to the topic at hand, so the indie movie scene, we are going to talk about Masaan later, but before I get there, I want to just spend some time really talking about the indie movie scene and where it really came from and how it's developed over the last few years in India, because I feel like it's either a space that many people are not really aware of or kind of tend to gloss over. And it's an area of film that I particularly am interested in. And so if you will indulge me, I would like to spend some time talking about that. So the term indie movies, as some of you may know, comes from the word independent movies or independent cinema. And the way it works, especially in the US, is that you either have studio films, which are backed by one of the big major movie studios, or you have independent films, which effectively are movies that a studio won't agree to make, either because they think it won't be commercially successful or because it deals with kind of very offbeat themes and different types of content, which may not necessarily be universally appealing to the entire mass movie-going audience. And so that's where this whole independent and indie cinema movement came from. In the US, the independent movie scene has been around for quite a long time, even dating back to the 50s and 60s. And a part of the reason for that is that even though there was a mass kind of audience that wouldn't typically watch those kind of movies, there was still another significant part of the audience which would watch and enjoy those movies, and it made those movies commercially viable. In India, that was not really the case for a couple of reasons. To correct any misconceptions, the independent movie scene in India and in Bombay has also been around for a long time, but the difference is that before kind of the mid-2000s, most of the independent movies were these kind of low-key, C-grade, semi-adult type movies. They were not necessarily made with any great filmmaking vision or any grand ambitions of making a lots of money or becoming very famous. And the one of the big reasons actually why this whole dichotomy between so-called studio films and indie films exists in the first place is that there are two main schools of thought about films and the movies of films, and they're not necessarily mutually exclusive of each other, but in some ways they are. One is that movies, the purpose of movies is entertainment, and the audience, the movie-going audience, pays to watch movies because they want to be entertained. And this is, of course, fundamentally true. And this is the kind of audience-facing school of thought. The other school of thought is that filmmaking is an art, and movies are made for the filmmaker, because the filmmaker has a vision, has a story that he wants to tell, and it's his vision that is kind of most important, as opposed to what the audience wants or think they want or etc. This effectively is why you have a lot of what eventually became independent films, which, you know, filmmakers had these very specific visions and very specific ideas that they wanted to put across in a certain way. And those ideas may not necessarily be what 80 to 90% of the movie-going audience wants to see or will appreciate. And I think in the US, the reason the indie film scene thrived much earlier than it is now in India or in other parts of the world is that there was always an audience for the offbeat, strange, dark, somewhat kind of movies that the independent film makers would make. And you know, this whole genre of neo-noir films in the 1950s and 60s, starting from Alfred Hitchcock, all came about partly because of this, because no studios were willing to back these movies. And the reason that some of these movies are called noir films, noir means dark, and the reason is because, you know, they're made in very dim lighting, very grainy, and partly because there was frankly no budget for them to have a lot of fancy bright lights or expensive sets or things like that. And the fact that there was always an audience that was looking towards that was still interested in this, in these type of movies, and almost, you know, made some of these movies cult classics, that culture wasn't really there in India, because Indian audiences were not really exposed to many different types of film. And you know, one of the biggest criticisms of Bollywood is that it's very formulaic, and there's a clear pattern that happens in every movie, and it's, you know, there's a hero, there's a heroine, there's songs, there's dancing, etc. And which I don't actually think is a criticism as such. I don't think it's a bad thing, but it is true that there is a certain archetype which a lot of Bollywood movies follow. And Indian audiences are not necessarily the most receptive to change, which I realize is a controversial statement, but a lot of movies which have come out, which have been very different, very out of the box, have not really been immediately embraced by Indian audiences. It either, you know, it either doesn't work at all, or it takes a few weeks, and then more people start to think about it, and they start to get it, and they start talking about it, and they're like, okay, you know what, this is actually good. And I think that mindset has changed a lot in the last 8 to 10 years, partly because of the demographic mix of India has also shifted. We are fundamentally a much younger society now, and the youth of India that has grown up in the last 10 years, myself included, has been much more exposed to different types of film from outside of India. And just because we're living in a technologically enabled digital age we've seen a lot more of the world, either by physically visiting different places and different countries around the world, or through television and through the media and various other things. And so I think the threshold of what Indian audiences are willing to accept in film has increased a lot. And also the range of different tastes from individual to individual has also changed, because we've all now been exposed to so many different things. Our minds have kind of been shaped very differently to, for example, my parents, if I think of, or people who were growing up 30 years ago. And so I think that has played a big factor in why indie movies have become successful. But in my mind, what really changed, I think what really brought the indie film scene to the forefront was kind of Anurag Kashyap and his rise, particularly with Dev D in 2009. And that movie, which was a modern day take on Devdas, for those of you who haven't watched it, I highly recommend it. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. And it's a 21st century version of Devdas. And it's just so fresh and so different, because it visually takes you through the mind of Dev, which is played by Abhay Deol in this case. And it takes you through his emotions in such a fresh, unique way, through music, through very little dialogue, but just kind of makes you think a lot. And the scenes that are depicted and the way the story plays out is much more real, much more gritty, much more not relatable is the wrong word, because it's, you know, this guy is pretty much loses control of his of himself and his mind. That part is still common from the original Devdas. But you can imagine knowing someone like Abhay Deol's Dev, whereas I can't really imagine knowing someone like Shah Rukh Khan's Devdas or any of the previous Devdas from any of the previous adaptations of Devdas. And it's difficult to explain without watching the movie, because it really is just an assault on the senses. But I think that movie was very controversial because it has a lot of swearing, it has a lot of drugs, violence, etc. And it eventually released and was very successful. And, you know, that kind of, I think, was a major turning point in realizing that Indian audiences are now more mature and are more willing to experiment with different types of cinema and appreciate different types of cinema. But Anurag Kashyap's journey actually started before that. He had been, of course, writing in Bollywood for many years for films like Satya, amongst others, which I think was his biggest hit as a writer. He then made his debut film called Black Friday, which was about the 1993 Bombay riots. And in fact, it was so controversial, it was not allowed to be released in India until 4 years later, after the verdicts in the Bombay riot cases were actually issued in court. And in 2003, around the same time, another major influential voice in the independent scene, Vishal Bharadwaj, came out with Maqbool, which was his first, or second rather, directorial film, which was a modern-day adaptation, or an Indian modern-day adaptation of Macbeth by Shakespeare. And both Vishal Bharadwaj and Anurag Kashyap, with Maqbool and with Black Friday, did something which fundamentally, I think, changed the whole independent film model in India. Because one of the reasons that I mentioned that independent films were not really given much light of day is because it was difficult to get financing and backing from studios who didn't want to make a film that audiences wouldn't necessarily like. And as opposed to raising financing yourself, which is challenging, what the two of them did is that they actually, they made their films on small budgets and then took their films to various international film festivals. So Maqbool was an entry at the Toronto Film Festival, Black Friday was an entry at the Indian Film Festival in LA, and the Locarno International Film Festival. And that really kind of changed the whole model, because now you were taking these films to an audience that is specifically looking for these kind of films. Because in all these film festivals, you have many offbeat films from around the world which deal with very specific themes. And once you take these films to a festival and it does well in that festival, it actually creates a lot of buzz and creates a lot of word of mouth. So that if you then release it in trailers later, the chances of it doing well are much better. One. Two, if it does well at an international film festival, it also automatically becomes into the running for all of the awards, such as the Filmfare and the National Awards, etc. case in point in Maqbool, Pankaj Kapoor won the Filmfare Best Critics Award for his performance in that role, and also won a national award. And the film was eventually ended up being screened at the 2004 Cannes Film Festival. And so this whole, you know, using festivals as a means to actually promote and also make sure your movie gets financial backing and does a whole lot better, completely changed the game. And all of Anurag Kashyap's subsequent films have more or less kind of followed that route. And there have been others as well who have done this. I'm using him as an example because he's the one that people have heard of the most and know the most about. But even after kind of Black Friday came out, did very well commercially, before the success of Dev D, he released another movie in between called No Smoking, which featured John Abraham and was actually an adaptation of a Stephen King novel, which I think in itself is the first and only time a Stephen King novel has been adapted into an Indian film. So it shows you the kind of creative wavelength he's working on, and the fact that it's very different compared to what else is happening in Bollywood per se. And No Smoking came out again with a lot of trouble with censors, etc., in terms of getting the ratings, getting an A rating versus a UA rating. And it came out, didn't really do well, neither from a critical perspective or from box office. It just about recovered its money since it was a fairly low-budget affair. But what I found interesting was actually Anurag Kashyap's explanation of why the film didn't do well. And he said something along the lines of, the film didn't do well because it was too far ahead of its time. And the surrealism and fantasy and dark humor and horror which he shows in the movie kind of just completely threw off the critics and the cinema goers, and they didn't really understand it, didn't like it because it was unconventional. They thought it was pretentious and they hadn't really seen anything like this before. And at one level, that seems very, it seems like he's very full of himself, and it seems a very self-serving attitude to have. But if you think about it more, I think it is kind of true, in that it's kind of, I'm not going to comment on whether No Smoking specifically was a good film or not, but that is many times the attitude that Indian film goers have towards offbeat and strange movies. Like, they haven't really seen anything like it before. They don't know what to think, what to make of it. And a lot of times it just confuses them, which is why a lot of these movies don't necessarily do well. And we're going to again talk about Masaan in a little while, which has gotten rave reviews from critics, from various folks in the industry, including people like Farhan Akhtar, Amir Khan, Karan Johar, all people who are very strong, influential people in Bollywood, have all said this film is fantastic. But the box office performance again has not really been very good, and it's again going to struggle to make its money through solely box office. It might end up making it through its satellite rights and all these other things, but that's a conversation for another day. And even apart from Masaan, Anurag Kashyap has already had another film released this year, which was of course Bombay Velvet, which had so much hype, so much fanfare behind it prior to its release. It was the first time Anurag Kashyap had been given a significant budget to work with ever since he first burst onto the scene, and after all his successful indie movies that had done so well, finally he was given a full budget and free rein to kind of do what he wanted. And, you know, he had these elaborate sets, period piece, A-list star casts from Ranbir Kapoor to Anushka Sharma, Karan Johar as part of the movie as well. And again, the movie completely tanked at the box office. The reception was very strange. I've actually never seen a movie which has had such split opinion, because half the critics and the audiences loved it and thought it was a fantastic, it was a masterpiece, and that it was really, really engaging. And the other half thought that it was taking people for a ride, nothing really happens, there's no pace, there's no story, it's very weak, like people expected a lot more. I don't know what they were expecting exactly, but whatever Anurag Kashyap put out was not it. And I personally am part of the first group. I really liked the film. I thought it was really good, really engaging. The characters are very real, very powerful. And I thought they all acted as they all acted very well. It was not a kind of all-out big-in-your-face movie. It was a fairly dark, understated kind of movie. But that's what the intention was, and that's what it was supposed to be. And I thought, to that end, it served its purpose pretty well. A lot of people also seem to think the same. If you scroll down the message boards and stuff on Twitter and Facebook, etc., and also some of the critics as well. However, the significant part of the audience still was not quite there in terms of where Anurag Kashyap wanted them to be, in terms of what they felt about this movie. And he, in the aftermath of the movie, was very clear in that he has no regrets doing the movie and that he had fun doing it and he learned a lot from it. And he spent the best part of 2 or 3 years making this movie. He said very clearly that, "I don't get caught up in what fans, etc., have to say. I make movies for myself," which goes back to the point I was making earlier about, you know, filmmaking as entertainment from an audience perspective, or filmmaking as an art form from the director or producer's perspective. And Anurag Kashyap has said this in the past as well, when one of his earlier movies, The Girl in the Yellow Boots, with Kalki Kochlin, which also ran into a lot of troubles because he couldn't get financing, etc. When he showed this film at one of the film festivals, I think it was Toronto, one of the comments he made before screening the film was that, "I hope this film touches your heart because you're not going to enjoy it." And that I think summarizes the whole mindset behind indie movies, which is a generalizing statement, but not all indie movies, of course, are aimed to solely be the artist's vision. And they do, of course, aim to entertain the audience as well. But it's a question of what takes priority, whether it's the story and what the filmmaker wants to say, or whether it's what the audience wants to hear. So on that note, I've got a bit roundabout all over the place. Please bear with me, and I hope you found some of this interesting. I will now talk a little bit about Masaan. Masaan is the latest and most high-profile independent movie to release this year. And as I mentioned, it had gotten rave reviews from critics, etc., praising the cinematography, the story, the acting, and the performances. And it did, of course, have Anurag Kashyap's name behind it as a producer. He didn't direct this one. The director was a new filmmaker called Neeraj Ghewan. Overall, my impressions of the movie were, I don't know whether it was because of all the hype, but it didn't quite live up to expectations for me personally. I thought the first half was very good, and the story is engaging, the characters are engaging, the actors put in really good performances. I think Sanjay Mishra was the standout, Richa Chadda was also very good. All of the actors actually played their roles to perfection, and I thought it did really well. But the story in the second half kind of didn't really pick up the pace the way I thought it would, and it didn't end up going anywhere, which I, again, understand is, you know, part of the intention as well, because it's just meant to show a slice of life for these three or four people and how the experiences they have shape who they are and what they do in life. It's not necessarily meant to have a plot twist or anything like that. But I still would have liked to see something a little different. When it ended, it just kind of felt very flat. So that, I thought, could have been better. But apart from that, I thought it was actually a very good movie. It captures the various, you know, locations of northern India and the Ganga River, etc., really well. And it really gives you an insight into, you know, what people's lives are like who live there, and how their kind of hopes and fears and dreams are in some ways so different from what people are living in the urban cities, but also in a lot of ways very similar. You know, people do want the same basic tenets of happiness and satisfaction and kind of fulfillment in life. So overall, I would recommend watching the movie, but it didn't live up to the heights of, for example, Udaan, which, again, for those of you who haven't seen this, is an absolute must-watch movie. Another Anurag Kashyap production, directed by Vikramaditya Motwane, came out in about 2007, about a young 17-18-year-old boy dealing with an abusive relationship with his father and trying to break free, essentially. Again, not a very happy or joyous movie, fairly depressing, in fact, but just really, really worth the watch in terms of power and the gripping narrative of the story and the characters and the performances by the actors, especially Ronit Roy, as the father. So that brings me to the end of this week's episode. And to be honest, I've really just scratched the surface of the whole indie movement and what it's all about. And the movies I've talked about have really been the more kind of famous and commercially successful ones. There is a whole other undercurrent of movies and short films which are releasing every month and every year that many people don't in fact hear about. If you are interested in the indie movie space, I would recommend a website called jamura.com, J-A-M-U-U-R-A. And they are also on Twitter, and they are the definitive number one portal for kind of news, blogs, and information about all things indie in India. And definitely recommend checking them out. So overall now, you know, I've been talking for a lot, and normally when I talk, I ask questions and my guests will give me their thoughts and opinions. This time, since I don't have guests, I want to actually turn it around and ask you guys, the audience, about what you think. Do you agree with what I've said about Indian audiences, A, not fundamentally being ready for the type of stories and narratives put forth by indie movies? B, do you agree that that's changing and that now people are becoming more receptive? Or do you think that it's still going to take a while? Or are you on the other side of the spectrum where you think people have always been receptive? There just haven't been the movies that have come out to meet that demand. Very curious to hear what you guys think. So please do shoot me a line, either comment on our Facebook or Twitter page, or comment right here on the SoundCloud link to this post, or if you're listening on the website, ticproductionsindia.com, you can leave a comment there as well. And the other thing I want to hear from you guys is, I've of course tried to keep this short and punchy and get across as much as I can, so I've clearly missed out a lot of important and significant indie movies that have come out in the last few years. So I want to hear from you guys, what are some of the indie movies that you've particularly enjoyed the most? And also, are there any ones coming up that you are significantly excited about and why? So do reach out to us, and we will feature some of your comments and thoughts on the next episode of Bollywood Weekly. But thank you for listening. I will leave you with a track from Dev D, which I mentioned already is my favorite film. And the music, honestly, just listen to the music from Dev D. Listen to the entire album. I think it's one of the best music albums I've heard. It's very different, very fresh, not what you will typically hear in most Hindi movies. So here is a track from Dev D. Do enjoy, and see you again next week. We'll be right back.
ना छुपे बावले।